first off, congratulations on your Teacher of the Year award. That's fantastic.
Thank you.
Absolutely. How long have you been a teacher?
So I've been a physical education teacher. This is my sixth year.
And have you been at Crestwood the whole time, or talk to me about any other places that you've taught?
So I've been here at Crestwood the entire time. Prior to Crestwood, I was not yet a PE teacher. I was just working different jobs within the school to get my foot in the door. My first job inside of a school, outside of doing before and after care, was a paraprofessional. And then I did in-school suspension, and I was a paraprofessional again. And then, you know, the Lord blessed me, and I interviewed, and I got this job here at Crestwood, and it's been history ever since.
Okay, very good. So are you from the St. Louis area then?
Yep, I'm from St. Louis, born and raised here. I grew up in the city of St. Louis. I was actually adopted out of a boys' home, and I moved to Chesterfield with my new family. And now I currently, as I said earlier, I currently live in Baldwin.
Okay, great. How old were you when you were adopted?
I was 14.
So who nominated you as Teacher of the Year? Do you know?
I heard that somebody paid to get me nominated. So
stop.
I'm still paying a bit. No. No, so one of my one of our fourth grade teachers here, her name is Krista Branding. She nominated me here at Crestwood. And then, you know, from being a Teacher of the Year at Crestwood, I guess the rest of administration nominated me for the district, which I was extremely surprised considering that we have so many amazing, like, wonderful, talented teachers. And then from there, all heck broke loose, and I started getting regional, and now, as you can see, Teacher of the Year. So I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to ride this train until the wheels fall off.
Oh, that's great. I love that. I'm going to use that quote because I love it. What made you want to be a PE teacher?
I've always loved just being active and being fit. I've always been an athlete. I played football. I ran track. I played basketball. I played college football. And I've always had good relationship with kids. I've always loved kids. And PE has always been my favorite subject in school just because, you know, growing up, I had a really tough life. And although I didn't like education, PE was the class that got me in the door. Knowing that I had PE and I was going to see those my favorite teachers who were my PE teachers, it got me in the door, which opened me up to other stuff that was important for me as far as education. But PE was my safe spot. It was my happy place. And I wanted to make sure that I provided that for other students who were probably going through some of the same things that I was going through in elementary school or just in school period. Because unfortunately, not everyone loves school. But, you know, if you can just find that one thing that you can connect with in school, it can open you up to other things that are there for you as resources. So definitely just providing that safe and happy spot for kids. And hopefully that I can be an avenue to the other classes that they need that are just as important as PE.
Where did you play college football?
So I played college football at Milliken University, Division III school in Decatur, Illinois. I played there for 2 years, and then I tore my shoulder up. So after leaving Milliken, I came home, and I finished out at UMSL, University of Missouri, St. Louis.
What position did you play at Milliken?
So my freshman year, I was an outside linebacker, and then my sophomore year, I was a safety slash corner.
So tell me about, you said you had a tough childhood, a tough upbringing. Can you get into that a little bit more?
Absolutely. So, you know, I was born, as I say, I was born in St. Louis. My mom was a drug addict, unfortunately. My father was a huge drug dealer in St. Louis, actually one of the biggest drug dealers at the time in St. Louis. And I lost him when I was four. My grandmother actually raised us because my mother couldn't because of drugs. My mom had six kids. Of her six kids, one of my brothers actually was adopted by my aunt who lived in Arkansas. And then my grandmother, after us going in and out of foster care, my grandmother finally found us and got us all back together and became our legal guardian through the state, even though we still kind of had social workers and things like that. So just between the violence in my neighborhood, the drugs, and just a lot of the other things that were not positive, it was just hard. I didn't have a normal, a healthy childhood. I mean, I look back and there are some things that I'm definitely grateful for because it could have been a lot worse, but it definitely wasn't normal considering how I'm raising my son right now.
So, did you end up being raised with five siblings or then six? How did you?
So my grandmother, she raised myself, my older brother, my younger brother, and then one of my sisters. My other sister went to live with her father's side of the family, and then my other brother, he went to live with my aunt in Arkansas. Now the brother right under me who lived in Arkansas, when he came back to St. Louis to live with us, when I was a senior in high school, he was actually murdered. He was 16. And
Oh
then
dear.
my oldest brother, I mean, he's been in and out of jail because of, drugs and gang violence. My youngest brother, he's been shot multiple times. I'm surprised he's still alive, and he's currently on house arrest because of some difficult choices that he had to make with his life. And I hope he can get through those. But it's just, I mean, without those resources and opportunities that I was fortunate enough to get when I was adopted, they never had access to those, and because of that, they chose a different path than I was, than I had the privilege to have.
Wow, that's amazing. I'm so sorry. What? Yes, you have had a tough life. So you were adopted. I'm sorry. You were 14 when you were adopted. Was this by your grandma or tell me about that.
So my grandmother adopted us, or got us out of the foster care system, and became our legal guardian when I was like 7 or 8 years old. But just going through my life and things like that, I developed a relationship with my counselor, my middle school counselor, and I didn't know it at the time, but a lot of stuff that I was going through, and I was going back telling her, she was telling my social worker. And when I was 14, or when I was in 7th grade, the social worker came to school and she had a bag of my clothes and she told me that we're putting you in a boys' home. Now, I didn't know it at the time, but they were actually trying to put me into like a it was like a young boys boot camp. And that's where they actually took my brother because he was kicked out of school because he was selling drugs. So my counselor, knowing my situation and knowing that I had a chance to actually maybe do something in life, her a principal and some other teachers went to court for me to get to retain guardianship of me. So my counselor became my legal guardian, and they put me into a boys' home that was up the block from my middle school. And then while I was in the boys' home, I started playing middle school football, and my coach and I became close, and my coach was the one who ended up adopting me out of the boys' home.
And what's your, can you tell me names of your school counselor and your coach?
Yep.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So my school counselor, her name was Maureen Huneke. She was at Parker Central Middle for a very long time, and she's retired now. My father, who adopted me, his name was Dennis Kaiser. His wife was Sherry Kaiser. And they actually have family in Troy. You mentioned that one of the stations is in Troy, so.
Oh, well, I hope they get it. I really hope that they can listen to this. That is quite the story, that your middle school counselor saw something in you. You said this was your football coach in 7th grade that adopted you?
So I was football started the summer between 7th and 8th grade. I was put in a boys' home when I was in 7th grade, but then that summer came and then football started, and I started playing football prior to my 8th grade school year. And I would say about through halfway through 8th grade, they adopted me because I kept that relationship with my football coach and his family, his son and daughter, after football ended.
How did being welcomed into that home change your life, Darren?
I mean, completely, because as I said earlier, it just provided me with different stuff that I would have never had the opportunity to get had I still lived in a city. Like financially, we had nothing in the city. Just mentally and physically, it just having that support, just having someone who loved me and just showed me that love and just catered to my needs that was going to push me in the right direction to be successful. Like, I feel like when I was in the city, we lived every day for the day. But with my new family, they taught me how to prepare for my future, which when you live in a city, a lot of people didn't prepare for the future because life was so short. People were being murdered left and right. People were so addicted on drugs that they're only thinking about how can I get this next high or how can I steal money or do this or do that. And my mindset was just, I want to be a drug dealer. I want to continue being in a gang. I didn't really see education as a way out. Education wasn't a priority, but they made it a priority for me.
Just to clarify, were you in a gang when you were growing up then?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how long were you in the gang?
I mean, I couldn't even tell you when I started. I feel like just being in the neighborhood, I've always been a part of that gang. People just know who my father was. It was just a different way they viewed me and a certain respect that they showed towards me because of my ties with my father and the kind of stuff that he did and just other family members I had. But I stopped being in the gang, I guess, once I was put in a boys' home because I was not around those people anymore. I wasn't doing that same stuff. I wasn't in a position where I had to try to steal or rob someone or, do drugs or anything like that. I've only done drugs once in my life, and this I smoked weed when I was like 11 years old, and ever since then, I haven't because I know what it does to you. And I mean, it was growing up the way I did, life came fast. And even though I was a kid, I was doing stuff that a lot of adults are doing now or don't do at all or don't even think about doing. But that was just the way of life for me. It sounds crazy thinking about it now because I know that wasn't right. But for me at the time, that was normal. Everyone was doing that. Like being in a gang was normal. Like you're in this neighborhood. This is the gang in the neighborhood. This is who you join to have your family, to have your support, to have your back. It's just a part of life.
Wow, what an amazing transformation. How old are you? Just so I can have this for my story.
I am the young age of 34.
Okay, just a pup.
Yeah.
Are you seeing your work connecting kids with a tough childhood like you had? Is it helping them?
I think it does. A lot of my students, when they come to my class, obviously from the beginning, they don't know about my childhood and the experience I've had. But I think once I've learned a little bit more about them and I realize a lot of the stuff they're going through and I'm able to relate my story to what they are going through, I think it's inspiring to them to see that, okay, if Mr. DC can make it out of this, if he can do something with his life, if he can, persevere, then maybe I have the courage and I can do it as well. And I think just me always supporting my students, whether it's in the classroom, outside of the classroom, motivating them to do anything they want in life, just as long as they work hard towards it, I think I'm definitely getting a lot of feedback and I'm seeing a lot of change with my students.
Awesome. I mean, what's it like to get kids moving in this day and age, with electronics being such a big factor and to help them kind of understand the importance of being active and taking care of their bodies?
I can't speak for everyone else, but I think for me, just because of the way I go about it and the way that I am, it's just easy. Like I tell everyone, it's like this is the only thing I've ever done in life that came so easy. I don't even feel like I needed to go to college to do this. Like the way that we breathe naturally, I feel like I teach, I engage kids, I build connections, I build trust, and I motivate them to move just so easy. Like I'm outgoing, I'm funny, I'm goofy. I incorporate their loves, their likes, their dislikes. I try to make sure that, anything that I can do in my class can get them engaged to want to move and want to work out. And I think just incorporating those things and making that connection with them and supporting them both inside and outside of my classroom allows me to get them to buy into whatever I'm doing and just have fun in my class. And a lot of the fun games that we do at the time, they don't know that they're working out and they're, building healthy hearts and things like that. But after we're done with the activity and we're sitting down and they're holding their hearts and we're talking about, okay, this is what you just did with your body. This is why this is important. I think they have appreciation for that because I love fitness. I work out daily. And I think the way that I carry myself and the way that I present my body to them, they see like Mr. DC is fit. He has muscles and things like that. And I want to be the picture of what I'm trying to promote to them.
In the initial press release from Desi, it talked about how you developed this dance routine. And I'd like to know a little bit more about that. How did that come about?
So when I was interviewing for the job at Crestwood, I always had this thing in my mind that I just wanted to create a culture. And I took the word CrestFit and I took the word Crestwood and I combined them, and I took the word CrossFit and Crestwood and I combined them to make the word CrestFit. And from there, this culture emerged that was surrounded by just fitness and health and caring about your body and what you eat and, the type of activity that you do. And at the time, my first year here, which now thinking back as a first year teacher, I can't even believe that I took on this huge thing. But the dance that was huge, the song that was popular was the Whip and the Nae Nae. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to take this song and I'm going to still do some of the dances, but I'm also going to incorporate some exercises in it because my students love it so much and they always want me to play the song that if I'm going to play it, we're going to do some exercising to it. And I literally spent probably a month outside of, doing our normal unit activities, teaching these kids the dance, the song, and the exercises that went along with it. And at the very end of it, we did a huge video inside of the gym with all the different classes and sometimes even with the entire school in the gym. And I mean, it just kind of blew up. Like the kids loved it, the parents loved it. And ever since then, CrestFit has been like, okay, what are we doing to work out? How are we going to get fit? And I think another thing that worked with that was that I start doing different activities with the parents because I feel like if I'm going to engage these students, I want to get the parents on board as well because if we're all on the same page, then it's just more, stuff to add to the success towards that kid. If we're on different pages, then we're not going to help that kid out. So as long as these parents know that I'm about making sure that their kid is successful, that they're happy and they're healthy and they're able to do the stuff that they need to be successful in life, and that you're on the same page as me. If you can go home and tell your son or daughter, like, Mr. DC kicked my butt in the gym, or we did this and did that, and then your son or daughter is doing the same thing, telling the parent that, like, that's cake. That's the icing on the cake for me. Like, I'm working everybody out, teachers, parents, kids, we're all engaged in activity. It's all, we're all, it's all, it's important to all of us.
Can I find the dance on like
I will email that to you right now.
Oh,
I'm gonna email
sweet.
it to you right now.
Oh, that's great. Okay. I love that song, by the way. So you picked a good song to dance to. So you said you started doing different activities with the parents as well. What kind of activities?
So I created something called CrestFit, and along with working out the kids, what I did was the first people I started working out were the teachers. So I would work the teachers out after school, and then I started asking parents if they wanted to join me as well. And what I found was I got more moms wanting to do the workouts because a lot of the teachers are women here, so the moms were joining the teachers here as well to work out. And I wanted to create something for the dads too because I wanted to make sure that I'm building relationships with, the mom and the dad along with the kids. So with the dads, I created an opening gym, and it wasn't even just for the dads, but I just knew more men would come to that. But it was open to women as well. But so with the parent, with the moms, I was working them out after school, and sometimes even on the weekends we would do activities. But with the dads, we would do an open gym on Thursdays, like every other Thursday, where we would play basketball, or most of the time we played basketball. But we always talked about different activities we can do if we wanted to. But a lot of them were okay with playing basketball because I don't, as far as being in shape, I think a lot of people are just like, you know what, this is all my body's going to do right now. And I was okay with that as well because by the end of the day, working out parents and kids and running around, I was tired as well. So basketball was perfect. It was a good way to keep my heart rate up, but not to overdo it as well.
So, what kind of attendance numbers are you having at these sort of events?
So with teachers, I would average about anywhere from 5 to 10 teachers working out with me. Like the first day, it was like all of them. And then after that first workout, they were like, oh, well, we'll see you. But they never came back. But, and then with the moms, I would have, 4 to 5 moms who would come in and out each day or anytime we worked out. But with the dads, I would say I average anywhere between, 15, 12 to 15 dads on any given night when we play basketball.
And are these activities still going on, or tell me about that?
So, if COVID was not going on, we would definitely be
Oh,
doing it.
yeah.
But I think because of, COVID and the tracing back, COVID and everything like that, they don't want parents or anyone inside the school who's not an educator.
Okay, sure. Yeah, totally understand. Prior to that, though, you were doing it. So how long have these activities been going on prior to COVID? Had it been a few years
Believe
or
it or
like?
not, since my first year, so the past, I guess it was 5 years.
Wow, that's amazing. Good for you. That's
Yeah, I don't know
totally
how I did
cool.
all of that, actually, now that I think back to it. My wife used to always yell at me, like, "You're crazy, why are you doing all of this?" But I'm like, I love when people are happy. I love when people are getting fit. I just, when you come from a place that wasn't happy, that wasn't positive, it makes you always want to be the opposite of that. So I always just want to see people happy and laughing and engaged and loving and supporting each other.
So, do you still talk to your siblings at all, the ones from your childhood?
So, my brothers and sisters, I do, yes. Not every day. I probably should, but I don't talk to them every day just because I'm so busy. One of my brothers, obviously, I don't talk to him anymore because he was murdered my senior year in high school. My siblings from my adopted family, my brother actually died from an overdose last year. And my sister, we're not on the greatest terms, but she moved to Florida. So, I mean, I don't talk to them at all. But, I mean, yeah.
Okay.
That's a whole different story
Yeah, okay.
for another day.
Yeah. Well, I'm just amazed at how much you've overcome throughout your life, and I think that's
Thank you.
an important story to tell here, and the potential that the adults in your life while you were growing up saw in you. And I think that's a really important topic to share as you help to build our future leaders. So is there any, I know you have to go here, so I just want to know any final words that you would like to talk about with this award?
I don't know. I think my biggest thing right now is that I'm trying my best to embrace this. Some people say I'm too humble, and it's not even that I'm humble. I know how huge this is. I know how significant winning Missouri State Teacher of the Year is. But for me, it's just, I don't know. It's not that it's not important because it is. And I'm going to use this platform to make sure that I can make some kind of change, especially in the neighborhood where I came from. But I still fight daily, just why me? Because I still have family who live in a city that don't get to experience a lot of stuff that I've been able to experience through education and just through life, period. So it's just hard for me to just be happy about a lot of the great things that's going on for me when I still know that my family is in the same place they were when I left them 15 years ago, So I'm trying to embrace this. I'm trying to really understand the importance of it and really not be as humble as I am, but it's hard.